special Halloween and bye week edition of X's and Omar. I'm Batman. Alongside me, taking the spot of Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist Omar Kelly, is Omar from The Wire. Look at you. What a heavy jacket that is.
I'm hot. Why am I talking like you?
Yeah, I don't get it. We're kind of the same, though. You know, we're defend the dark streets of Baltimore, and I defend the dark streets of Gotham.
Absolutely. Excellent look by you. I'm dying to see if you will continue to voice all throughout the show.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Okay.
Remember whose idea this was.
It was my idea. I wanted to be Omar from The Wire, but I did not consider how damn hot this jacket would be.
You know the other difference?
What's that?
Between you and me.
What's that?
An 11-year-old's not taking me down. I got that. That bat sense with the 11-year-olds.
It's about the integrity of the streets. That's what Omar represented.
Okay.
You protect the streets of Gotham. You got to understand.
True. It's true.
Yeah.
That is what I do. So, Omar, I was watching the Dolphins game.
Okay.
In my bat cave.
All right.
My 120-inch plasma. Jealous. It's big.
Yeah. You're rich. Really. You're rich.
Sometimes I just buy a movie theater and just watch it there. Well, I'm watching the game. In between commercials and Property Brothers. And I'm thinking two things.
All right.
Super Bowl.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No.
Too much.
That's too much.
I think the Dolphins' 28-25 victory over the Buffalo Bills and their second straight victory over two of the hottest teams in the NFL reinforces that there is a metamorphosis going on. This is a change in personality of the team. And it's sparked by the offensive line, it's sparked by the running game, it's sparked by the improved defense. I mean, right now, they're number one in the NFL in third down efficiency, which is pretty impressive. Now, if only they could stop the run, hey, that would be a step in the right direction. But you're seeing improvement, and this bye week couldn't have come at a better time because it gives this coaching staff 14 days to continue to invest in their new philosophy, and it gives the players time to rest and recover their bodies because the way that they play is a brutal style of football.
I did no preparation for this show,
okay,
but I heard there was a conversation about whether or not the real Dolphins were going to stand up. Was that the real Dolphins?
I think that this is a team that's trying to evolve and become a tough guy. And it's hard to change from being a finesse, soft team to all of a sudden you're one of the toughest, roughest, most rugged teams in the NFL. And, you know, certainly they've backed it up two straight weeks against two physical opponents, two teams that want to bully you. So it shows you that, hey, we can really do this. We can play this way. The problem is, you got to be consistent. You got to continue to invest in it. You got to build better running plays. You got to build formations that continue to keep teams off balance. You got to invest more into the play-action passing game. You've got to strengthen special teams because, as we've seen, all of these players who are coming from the special teams core unit to being starters like Michael Thomas and Damian Williams, who elevates himself into the number two role now with Arian Foster's retirement, these are all huge changes, and teams have to evolve during the season. The question is, how much of this evolution can take place within this next month? Next five games, really.
I want to ask you a question.
All right.
About Jay Ajayi.
Okay.
His first name is Jay, and then Jay is in his last name, but it's pronounced differently. Why?
I have absolutely no idea. But what I do like about his name is that there's the J Train Association.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he got that from Boise State. It so fits his running style. This whole celebration thing he does at the end of the games.
It's
quite impressive.
It's funny.
Yeah. And the question is, can he continue it? Can he keep it going? And this is a guy who went from a second round projection to a fifth round talent in the draft. Every team backed off him primarily because they were worried about his knees, which were bone on bone. And the question is, a lot of people in the NFL said, he's not durable. He's not going to stay durable. How long can he continue to do this, and how much can he continue to handle a 25-carry workload?
I like that name, though. Jay Ajayi.
Jay.
Okay, I've got questions I have to read.
Okay.
From FFD Jackson. How do you evaluate the coaching staff this year? Are they more opens, more directs, more accountabilities?
You know what? I have been intrigued by Adam Gase and his coaching staff style. They don't pull any punches. They call it how it is. If a player's not ready, they'll tell you. Jakeem Grant, Carew, they're not ready. They're green. If a player is struggling with toughness issues, they'll call them out. Players struggle during games, and that's the one thing I've always respected. When I do my grades for the games and my stock report, with a player I put that's down every single week, and I don't consult with the coaches, and I'm sure they don't read my material, something happens to that player. He's cut, he's demoted, he's put on warning, something happens.
He retires.
He retires like Arian Foster. I didn't expect that, but yeah. Arian Foster, let's address this, because I wrote that Arian Foster, the Dolphins need to push Arian Foster aside. We've been talking about it.
Sure.
What's the point of playing him? When he's not really giving you anything, he's clearly a step slow, he's lost it, and you need to invest in Damian Williams. You need to invest in the young Kenyon Drake. And Arian Foster bowed out gracefully after last week. I mean, his snaps were... And I hate to be disrespectful to the man because he's put together one hell of an accomplished career. But his snaps were wasted snaps. And it's sad to say that about a player who was once great and once elite at his time. But at some point, that age calls you. The father time is undefeated. And it'll eventually call me and you. And unfortunately, Arian Foster decided to walk away. I think his presence could have been useful in that locker room. Jay Ajayi still needs to learn how to treat his body, how to prepare, how to study film. They're all young in that running back room. But Arian bowed out gracefully and decided to retire in the bye week. And I give him props because he's always been a left field kind of guy. If you expect him to do A, he's going to do B. I can relate to that. But to walk away and just walk away from the check, just that, you don't see that very often. Dolphins would have carried him on the 53
sure.
probably all season.
Adam Gase loves him.
Yeah, probably would have put him on IR and just kept in the locker room. He just walked away gracefully.
Okay.
Props to him.
Next question comes from Ryan. Ryan asks, how do you continue to run the ball efficiently moving forward when teams know that's what you want to do?
The beauty and value of what the Dolphins are doing with their power running, Zane, it's a power zone. Outside run zone. There's not much you could do about it to stop it if you're running it well and effectively. And the Dolphins are beginning to get to the point where they're running it well and effectively. And Ajayi could either choose inside or he can go run outside. It's hard to stop except for put 8 man in the box. Then when you put 8 man in the box, they can go over the top of you in the passing game. And I've said this, and people don't pay attention to this, but Ryan Tannehill, since last year, has developed a very efficient and effective deep ball. I mean, his deep ball is right now probably right up there with Ben Roethlisberger. He was the number two big play producer in the NFL last year, and he's up there in pace in terms of big play production this year. 8.11 yards per attempt. That's ridiculously high. And even think about his misses. Aren't the misses...
Kenny Stills.
Yeah, aren't the misses... I think that one, last one was a breakdown, but was a breakup. But aren't the misses this close? It's not like when he was with Mike Wallace, where it's like overthrown or underthrown. So teams have to respect that. And that's going to keep teams off balance. I think the next step for this Dolphins offense is to improve their passing game in terms of having Devontae Parker run slants, run 15-yard outs, having Kenny Stills run drags. Evolve that offense a little so it doesn't rely so heavily on Jarvis Landry. And then if you do that and you have the power running and then the big play production and then maybe even get some tight ends involved, you can have a pretty effective offense.
Tight ends, yeah, offensive linemen playing tight ends.
Yeah. I mean, this is the stuff you got to go through when Jordan Cameron and both Deion Sims are sidelined with a concussion. I think Marquise Gray and Dominique Jones have done a very good job, admirable job, but it's time to get your tight ends, starting tight ends back.
Randy, other than Jay Ajayi, who has impressed you the most during the two-game winning streak?
It's hands down has to be Brandon Albert. I mean, we're talking about a guy who is the difference maker in that running game. You can run left when you want to run left. Laramie Tunsil is improving as a run blocker. I put up some video on Twitter of showing. I've been critical of Laramie Tunsil's run game just because it wasn't the strength of his game. He was getting to the second level against the Buffalo Bills. He was turning that corner on some pulls. And that's something that his game is continuing to evolve. You put him next to Brandon Albert, who is a monster in the run game, and you might have something special there. I think that Brandon Albert is, without a question, maybe I'll put Ndamukong Suh, the top performer on this Dolphins team. They are, without a doubt, one of the top teams in terms of two of the top players in terms of offensively. You know what you're going to get from Brandon Albert. When he's there, you've given up 7 sacks in 5 games. When he's not there, you've given up 11 sacks in 2 games. There's a huge difference.
Moving on. A week of rest. You and I don't rest, Omar.
No. I am going to get some rest. I told you I'd shut down the social media streets, too.
Shut down the streets?
Yeah, shut down
okay.
the streets.
Okay. Let's see. No more winning teams until December.
Yeah.
So?
Bills and Patriots are the only teams that remain that have a winning record. San Diego is pushing to get better. And they might be better by the time the Dolphins play them. But the Bills and the Patriots, and you just beat the Bills. You know you've split the series with the Patriots every year since, I believe, 2010. So you know you can play, well, not really the Tom Brady Patriots. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. The question is, can the Dolphins build momentum within these next couple of weeks? These next, I believe how many games are left now?
Nine.
Okay. So the Dolphins, I predict that if the Dolphins figure out a way to manage to win 5 of the next 7 games, you're talking about opponents like
Jets,
San Diego, the Rams, 49ers, Baltimore, they're all playing horribly. Now, we know Arizona is going to get their act together. Mm-hmm. The Jets are playing horribly again. So between those seven games, if the Dolphins somehow manage to win 5 of the 7, I think they'll be in playoff contention. I think they will definitely, without a doubt, be in playoff contention. Maybe even if they win 4 of the next 7 games. I think that they're going to be serious playoff contenders. That's not the goal for me. I mean, I'm not going to be sold on this Dolphins metamorphosis until we're seeing them consistently do it for over a month, because I don't believe that they can physically handle it. But I do believe that this team is changing. It's evolving. If they can stay healthy, you got a chance. And they need to win some games before they get into December games, because December games are where the schedule turns a little bit fierce.
It's always good when you're playing December games that matter, though.
Yeah, no, definitely. Helps our business, too.
Sure does.
Yeah, even though you're a crime fighter.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's right.
Crime is always good business for you.
Okay, 3-4. What have we learned about this team?
We've learned that Adam Gase can coach.
Mm-hmm.
Vance Joseph, the jury's still out. I would love to see him improve his run defense. There's no reason that you should be as bad as you are run defense, except for the fact that you're still not addressing tackles. The evolution of the one thing is, I was always puzzled by Adam Gase's at just insistence that they need to be a passing team. And every coach, even going back to Joe Philbin, the insistence that they need to be a passing team never made sense to me. Now, running is, it changes your identity. We've seen how it's benefited the defense. We've seen how it's benefited the passing game. Okay, now can you consistently do that? But one thing I want to point out is Adam Gase in Chicago, only 5 teams ran the ball more than him in Chicago. They weren't very successful at it, but it showed a commitment to the run. Now, can he continue it? And obviously, when you've got the AFC's top player of the week for back-to-back weeks, and you've got one of the most forceful offensive lines in the NFL, there's no reason why you should back down and walk away from it. Now, the question is, will depth allow you and injuries allow you to continue to play that way?
Saw that last 2 weeks, J.J. has more rushing yards than Todd Gurley has all season long.
That's one hell of a accomplishment. I don't know what's happening to Todd Gurley. I haven't looked at the Rams, not yet. But we know he's a super talented player. And Jay Ajayi was considered a very talented back. It just hadn't panned out for him. And now he's getting the opportunity. He's responded to the adversity that he faced earlier in the season. He's finally healthy. And things are going well for him. He's showing you that physical style. And it's not, I give the offensive line and the Unicorns a lot of credit, but it's not all the offensive line, because Jay Ajayi is making guys miss. Jay Ajayi is shedding tackles. When he's tackled, Jay Ajayi's falling an extra 2 yards. That's Jay Ajayi. That's not all the, it's great that you got 4 yards to begin with, and you have the vision before 4 yards before anybody even touches you, but he's making it happen to get those extra yards.
Okay, Jabari. What has led the Dolphins' defensive line playing better?
It's got to be, there's no coincidence in my mind. I will argue this with my partner Chris Perkins all the time. We argue it on a daily basis about Cameron Wake. I always said, not starting Cam Wake is just being disrespectful. It doesn't matter how much he plays. He is an NFL starter. He will probably go down in the Ring of Honor, and you have him as a bench player? Like, that was a travesty. That was just disrespectful to me. And then you have him as a bench player when you're the worst team stopping the run. And you're saying he can't set the edge. Well, Cameron Wake has shown you for the last 2 weeks, hey, I can set the edge. Sorry, I might be 34, but I could still set the edge. I can still do my job. He's been effective. So has Andre Branch, the opposite, the other guy on the opposite side. You just demoted Mario Williams and Jason Jones for Andre Branch and Cameron Wake, and it has completely revolutionized your defense. And it's changed and altered the way that teams have to play you. And to me, that's good coaching. It's 5 weeks late, but at least it happened.
All right, next question from Paul. Has there been a scheme change for Byron Maxwell the last two games, or is he just playing better?
You know, people won't believe me, but we've been doing this show, and I've said, yeah, Byron Maxwell's not playing very well, but it's not like he's playing horribly. He's just getting picked on a lot. And when you get picked on, you get beat some from time to time. And there have been instances where he's played a very good game with the exception of 5 plays, and it's just cost the team. Now, obviously, I'm giving him Dallas Thomas treatment where you can't play 5 disastrous plays, but I think he's cleaning that up a little bit. He's understanding a little bit more how the defense is supposed to play. Even some of the plays where, you know, he got beat, you know, on that Goodwin deep ball, but he's in zone coverage. He lets his man go because that's what you do in zone coverage, and you're supposed to have safety help over the top. Michael Thomas was not there. He was late. He owned up to that mistake, and it allowed a touchdown. But Byron Maxwell, play him to his strengths, hide his deficiencies, and I think that's what the coaching staff is doing a better job of. And to be completely honest with you, I don't think he's been playing that horribly. It's just they're playing him to his strengths a little bit more than they usually have. And maybe confidence, because, you know, they could say whatever they want, but when you begin to struggle, it begins to get into your head, and it's hard to cleanse that from the system. And I think the fact that he's played 2 good games has helped him cleanse.
Was benching him the right decision, though?
Got his attention. I mean, this is what I love about Adam Gase and his coaching staff, and we talked about this earlier. When a guy struggles, something's happening to him. If you're not playing well, we're going to get the next guy to play well. We're going to get the next guy an opportunity. And it encourages you, hey, you want to keep your spot, perform at a high level, do what you're supposed to do, and everything will be okay. And I think that benching him was the right thing to do. Now, would he have ever gotten his spot back if Xavier Howard wasn't injured? I think he would have, because, you know, he would have. It's not like Tony Lippett's out there tearing it up. But it got his attention. And anytime you I don't want to say embarrass a player, but you hold them accountable to what they're doing or how they're playing, you get results.
All right. And Michael, do you see Walt Aiken as an upgrade over Michael Thomas?
I don't see Walt Aiken. I think athletically, Walt Aiken is a superior athlete to Michael Thomas, but Michael Thomas's intelligence, and this is what people underestimate, a safety and an inside linebacker and a center and a quarterback, all those people who are in the middle of your team, they got to be the smart guys. They got to be, because they got to be the guys that direct traffic. Michael Thomas is one of the smartest players on that team, probably one of the smartest players that I've covered. Anytime I have a question, I go to Michael Thomas to explain something to me. That's a trait that you need in your defense. It's going to allow everything to be to seam up and just look a little bit better, be a little bit more cohesive. And even though you're going to lose Rashad Jones and there are going to be touchdowns that are going to be allowed, as a unit, if your secondary plays better, it's going to help. It's going to help everybody. Walt Akins is just not taking that next step from a preparation standpoint. He's not taking that step from an accountability standpoint, showing up late to a practice. Showing up late to a team meeting. There's a certain level of professionalism that is required in terms of preparation for Sunday, and some guys get it, some guys don't. Bakari Rambo was signed this week. He's going to be added to the secondary. Now you've got some options there, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. But Walt Akins is probably going to remain a special teams player. Maybe even Bakari Rambo gets a heavier special teams role, and we'll see what happens with the Dolphins secondary.
So Batman doesn't play games.
All right.
So we'll bring it back to this. So we can play Trick or Treat.
Okay,
which
gotcha.
You created this game, so I hope you get it. It's basically true or false.
Well, gotcha.
But it's the Halloween edition.
All right.
So we got to do Trick or Treat.
There you go.
Tricks, false, treats,
okay.
True.
All right.
Let's do this. These Dolphins, which have put together an impressive two-game winning streak, should be talking playoffs right now. Trick or treat?
I'm going to say treat. I think that there's no reason to say this team cannot get to 9 wins. And as we know, if we're really talking about who's a playoff contender, everybody's going to put the Patriots in there. Everybody's going to put one team from the AFC North in there. So there's a wild card spot that's open. Buffalo's right now in that position. Buffalo fizzles at the end of the year, just like the Dolphins do. Can you keep pace with Buffalo Bills? Are they a better team than you? I would argue no, especially without LeSean McCoy. Buffalo might struggle for the next month. You keep winning, you will put yourself in position to be a playoff contender. Now, what's going on in the AFC West with Oakland and San Diego? Okay, that might be a challenge. But you take care of your own business, beat San Diego, beat Baltimore, you don't have to worry about it.
Second best team in any division is going to be in the hunt in December. It's
absolutely
kind of the way it always works.
Yeah.
And if the Dolphins are better than the Bills and the Jets, that's where they'll be.
Well, we don't have to worry about the Bills. The Bills are self-destructing right now.
But the Jets are worse.
I mean, I'm sorry. The Jets were self-destructing. The Bills, they always come apart at the seams.
Right.
That's what the Bills do. That's what the Dolphins do, too. The question is, can you change this culture? Can you change this culture to the point where you stop coming apart at the seams and you stop mentally folding? Adam Gase talked about a point in the Bills game where adversity hit, they were trailing, and you usually see people hanging their heads and you wait for that's so Dolphins moment. You know that
that's so
Dolphins.
We all know it, sure.
We all know that's so Dolphins moment. And then they hit that big play to Kenny Stills. Or they're backed up into the end zone and we're all like, oh, isn't this where the safety was happened for like 3 straight weeks? And then Jay Ajayi breaks that big run. It's starting to build a little bit of momentum where you're saying to yourself, well, where's that's a Dolphins moment coming? We haven't seen it for 2 weeks.
All right, next question. Adam Gase is done making rookie mistakes 6 games into the NFL season. Now, 7.
I think that's a trick. rookie players and rookie coaches make rookie mistakes. Rookie GMs. The fact that the Dolphins still have not signed or traded for a defensive tackle, knowing how horrendously they're playing a defensive tackle, blows my mind. And there's just nothing that they're doing about it. Now, that's what rookies do. They take a while to solve issues. I will give Adam Gase credit. He solves issues a lot quicker than Joe Philbin does. But the problems that they're having on defense, they still need a little bit of work. The offense, to me, is going. As long as you're converting third downs, you're good to go. Red zone, they probably need a little bit of an improvement in the red zone. Maybe you need to work on some different plays. Maybe you need to start to high point balls to Devontae Parker, work on that. Involved maybe when the tight ends get involved, because tight ends are usually pretty good and pretty effective in the red zone. So maybe that improved, but Adam Gase is not done making rookie mistakes, but I really like what he's doing so far. Culture change is hard to do.
We saw a little Mario. We saw a little Mario on the inside.
Yeah, Mario on defensive tackle. I talked about that last week, and I'm sorry, but Mario's 300 friggin' pounds. He's not explosive. All his game is his power. Move him inside. Move him inside on third downs. Maybe you get some $8 million worth of play from him. And it was just a smart idea.
Yeah.
A smart idea.
He talked about it after in the locker room. It was just sort of like it was some this huge gadget. He was like, yeah, that was kind of fun. It was just sort of on the whim, drawn up in the playground. Dominican was just telling me what to do, and I had to look at him. He had to tell me where to go.
He needs to practice because he's not a very effective defensive end. And
being benched has shown that for sure.
Yeah.
If he wants to be on the field.
If you want to play, if you want to contribute. I think he could play another 4 years of defensive tackle. He's 300 pounds. Let's not pretend like he's not 300 pounds. He's bigger than Ndamukong Suh. Hey, play defensive tackle. Yeah. Now, your ego might not want to do that work, but hey, you're making $8 million. Mm-hmm. Suck it up.
Okay, next question. Trick or treat, Jay Ajayi can be a perennial 1,000-yard rusher.
I'm going to go with trick.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that he can continue that running style. And, you know, that's what NFL teams, you know, 31 NFL teams missed on Jay Ajayi because they were like, that guy's not going to stay healthy. He's a wasted draft pick. They literally said he's a wasted draft pick. The Dolphins took a flyer on him in the fifth round. They look like geniuses now. But will it eventually catch up to them? You know, Jay has got to prove it. I think he will get 1,000 yards this season. It's not going to take him much.
He's only need like 400 and something, right?
Yeah, he needs
five.
Yeah, he needs 465 yards. No, 465 yards. You could get that in 9 games.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
if he stays healthy, of course.
Okay, trick or treat. Jarvis Landry will be worth the $50 to $60 million he'll demand next season.
Ooh, that's a good one. Jarvis is definitely going to get paid. Smart agent signs into a contract before the season begins because all it takes is one injury and you're done. Your career takes a back step. The question is Jarvis going to be worth $50 million? Right now, he's the second highest production receiver in the NFL. I would say yes. So I'm going to go with treat just because Jarvis is a tone setter. Jarvis is an emotional leader. Jarvis is the alpha male, and Jarvis is the most productive player on the team outside of JJ.
So he's worth it.
He's worth it.
Is he getting it from the fence?
Yeah, they'd be stupid not to give Jarvis. It sends a bad message to the entire locker room that you don't pay and reward the player that's basically leading this team, leading the offense. If you're giving Ryan Tannehill $96 million, why wouldn't Jarvis Landry get $50, $60 million? The question is, when will they do it? And the repercussions, they've got plenty of cap space. I did the math. They're like $31 million of carryover cap to next year. You're probably going to cut some guys like Mario Williams and maybe even Byron Maxwell to walk away from those contracts. Yeah, why not? Why not?
All right. Miami is presently ranked number one in third down defense, limiting opponents to just a 31% conversion rate. Can Vance Joseph's unit play this way all season? Trick or treat?
I'm going to go with treat. I think that they're getting it together. They're figuring it out. The linebackers are playing much better than they played all of the season. Now they've got Jelani Jenkins and Kiko Alonso in the nickel package. They pay Donald Butler and Neville Hewitt in the regular base formations. They're figuring it out. You know, you play in Cameron Wake and Brandon Albert, then you bring in the big package with Mario and Jason Jones, and then you put Mario and Jason Jones inside a defensive tackle. You have Cameron Wake and Andre Branch standing up. It's coming together. It's coming together. And I think that Vance Joseph will continue to evolve and figure this out. They're also getting secondary reinforcements. Bakari Rambo signed. You're getting Benny...
Ben Wickery.
He's getting more indoctrinated. Chris Culliver's coming back. You're getting reinforced. You're getting like a whole new secondary. Like a whole new secondary. Now, will it take them some time? Probably. But I do believe in this defense.
All right. And, oh, this is a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Just a Halloween treat for everyone who stayed throughout the show. Trick or treat, Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback for the future for the Dolphins.
I'm going to go.
He's just gonna sit back here like this.
He's just gonna sit back and watch me answer this one. I'm going to go with Trick. While a lot of the everybody else is playing great around him, and he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
He is. The question is, what does Tannehill buckle to all the time?
Pressure.
Pressure. Now, it's not just pressure on a play. It's pressure in season when
sure.
teams like, we need you to step up. He usually can't step up. And eventually coaches are going to. If Adam Gase is smart, he uses an early draft pick in the 2017 draft and selects a guy like Chad Kelly or selects a guy in early rounds. Doesn't need to play right away. I'm not saying first round. Second round, give me a quarterback. Let me get one. Doesn't need to play right away. Just learn, watch, develop. If things go haywire, or maybe like Dak Prescott, where you outperform Tony Romo. Dak Prescott was outperforming Tony Romo in training camp. Dak Prescott was outperforming Tony Romo in the exhibition season. Dolphins saw it up close and personal. Dak Prescott tore them up. Mm-hmm. There's no surprise that Dak has a 100 quarterback rating right now because he was doing well. Maybe you get lucky and you're the Dolphins and something like that happens for you. The question is, why has this team insisted on not drafting a quarterback early throughout the Chad Haney career, or even outside, with the exception of Pat White, and throughout the Ryan Tannehill career? Sorry, quarterbacks need to compete too. Ryan Tannehill should be competing. He should be earning his job. Love everything about Ryan Tannehill, except for the fact he does not handle himself under pressure. And I don't want a quarterback that's never going to handle himself well under pressure.
And when things are going poorly around him, he can't elevate the team himself to pull out a win. When everything's going well around him, he looks great.
Yeah, no.
And he has looked great these last, he's thrown some really great passes. He's done some great things.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, one last question because Dave from Vero Beach sent me this email. I think next year's first pick should be a highly rated offensive lineman. We need depth and probably another starter since Jermon Bushrod is older. Brandon Albert is old and not always 100%. What do you think is a smart strategy?
Two things I'm doing next year. Actually, three things I'm doing next year, okay. Early in the draft and maybe even addressing it in free agency. Let me put four. One, I'm not messing with Brandon Albert. He's old, but you see what happens.
Sure. Well,
if he's sidelined in December with some sort of Brandon Albert-esque injury, I mean, the guy got salmonella poisoning a couple weeks
right.
ago. Like, what do you want him to do?
Right.
I'm not messing with Brandon Albert. He's my starting left tackle. I'm keeping Jermon Bushrod there as my left guard. And yes, I need to address the guard position. Laramie Tunsil is my left guard. I need to address the guard position with Jermon Bushrod. And probably I will draft one in the earlier rounds, but I'm not necessarily certain I'm going to draft one in the first round. I think a defensive tackle needs to be drafted in the first round.
I think
round.
That's probably a good move. That's it. Script's gone.
Yes. A prediction for the rest of the season?
Oh, for the rest of the season. This is out of nowhere. What did I say they were going to go at the beginning of the year? Because that's what they're going to go.
Six or ten? Were you six or seven?
I think I was a seven guy.
Okay, all right.
So
I said seven. I really believed it was going to be six. I think I'm leaning more towards seven now.
Okay.
Yes, that 1-4 start. I mean, it was a challenge to everybody. They had no identity. They couldn't do anything right, and all of a sudden, they figured it out. Now the question is, will opposing defenses figure them out? We'll see.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of X's and Omar. We will be back next week to preview the Jets.
And I won't be burning out.